Hello everyone, my name is Jacob Minig. I am the host of the Behavioral Health Integration Podcast. Today we have a very special guest, Scott Perry. Scott is an Encore Life coach who has a true passion for helping individuals develop their own coaching plan and programs to help inspire their lives. Scott has a true passion for helping people their own hard-earned wisdom and experience into fulfilling part-time coaching businesses so that they can live a prosperous life while they make a difference in others. And without further ado, let's get started. Scott, again, it's a pleasure having you on the show, man. Thank you for being here.
Really, really excited about this conversation and spending this time with you, Jacob. Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's a privilege.
Absolutely. And Acquiring Minds want to know, what got you into Encore Life Coaching?
So we were just discussing this before we started recording, but my journey, like anybody else's, was not a clear, direct path from point A to point Z. Yeah. I started off as a school teacher, moved into a career as a professional musician and guitar studio owner. As I was entering my midlife, I was getting the idea that I was being called to do something else, wasn't sure what that was going to be. I took a program called the Alt MBA created by Seth Godin and discovered that, I reconnected with my love for writing. I was started a broadcast. I wrote my first book and really resisted the idea of becoming a coach. I thought coaches are just, you can see online now. I mean, they're a dime a dozen. There's no barrier to entry. You can just call yourself a coach and you're a coach. So I resisted that calling. And this is pretty common for most people. You know, when your life is trying to speak to you because it wants to speak through you, we tell ourselves stories that help us just stay with what we already know and where we understand what's expected and where we stand. But in really because my online activities were becoming really expensive hobbies, my wife said, you really need to figure out a way to get this thing that you're doing, whatever it is, to pay for itself. And really out of desperation, I just decided I was going to start coaching because I knew I could do it. And I had been a head coach in Seth Godin's programs after the Alt MBA. So I had plenty of experience already. I had people that were asking if I would be their coach. So I just kind of begrudgingly started doing it, only to discover, as with so many other things in my life, that actually not only was I really good at it, but I really derived a lot of meaning and fulfillment and joy from doing that work. So I just happily tripped into a career that now brings me a lot of fulfillment and prosperity.
So how do you feel your style of life coaching is different from other styles or certifications, would you say?
That's a great question. I heavily influenced by my experiences as a head coach and the Akimbo workshops. And, I think the way that people usually think about coaches is it's almost like they're therapists, not that they should be. Coaching and therapy are two very different things. And I would never encourage a coach to try to put on a therapist that those, if you're going to become a therapist, you do need training and certification, but a lot of coaches just approach it as, I hear coaches all the time, bragging that they're coaching for insight and they just, have this very Socratic, keep asking them questions until they arrive at their own answers and blah, 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 blah. I think asking questions and seeking more beautiful questions is an important part of coaching. But a coach is also primarily being hired to compress time. Mm-hmm. When someone hires you to be their coach, what they're wanting is for you to get them from where they are to where they want to be with the fewest essential steps necessarily, and they want you to help them take those steps as effortlessly as they can. And so while questions and inquiry can be really important in that, I also believe in inserting what I call empathetic antagonism, which is to shine a light on the things that are right in front of you, that are getting in your way, probably things that you put there to sabotage your efforts, and to reveal these things in a way, help you see them in a way that you can't unsee them, and to amplify them and create that generous tension that gets you to lean into and start to work through the things that are impeding your progress in terms of stepping into your potential and making the biggest difference that you're able to make, and you know, finding and leveraging your gift to be a force for good in the world. And so frequently I'll just ask a client, when I sense that, you know, we're getting close to something that we need to really talk about, I just ask them, listen, do I have permission to turn up the heat here a little bit? Because there's some things that, you know, if we can get through this, you're going to experience, they're going to catalyze your experience and help you get where you want to go. I believe that coaching, ultimately, your job as a coach is to coach yourself out of a job.
Yeah.
And if you can do that, you'll have a job for as long as you want it.
You know, it's funny, sometimes people take that into like the personal training mentality, is you don't want to give them too good of a workout or make them too aware of the workouts, because if they get so fit, they're not going to need you anymore. And then you lose money.
Well, that's, yeah. And, you know, that's a great insight, Jacob, because it speaks to the programming that we've received from institutionalized education and occupation, that there's this scarcity of resources, and you better get and hold on to yours, because there's a finite amount. And actually, I have found the opposite to be true, in that there is immeasurable abundance in the world. And when we share our gifts generously, when we are grateful for, you know, for the fact that we possess everything we need to thrive and survive, and you know, as we're striving to be and do more and better with and for people we care about, that what happens is more and more opportunities avail themselves. You get better and better clients, do better and better work, and are able to earn a better and better living by just acknowledging that there's more than enough, more than enough for you, more than enough for everyone else. And just the whole point is, do the best work you can with intention, with integrity. Let everything that's not yours to control sort itself out.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, going back to what we said earlier, you're saying like a life coach should never put on a therapist hat. You'd be so surprised at how many therapists actually go into coaching.
I'm not at all surprised. I coach many of them, and that part is thrilling to me, because yeah, I do think that coaching skills, you know, good coaching skills can make you a better therapist. They can make you a better teacher. They can make you a better politician. They can make you a better parent, friend, what have you. You know, coaching at its best is, again, the generous act of helping people see that they possess everything they need to live into their potential and craft the life of their dreams. And coaching at its best helps people do that, you know, by compressing time, mm-hmm, and leveraging assets that clients already possess. And so adding that to the, you know, very important toolkit that a therapist has, can only magnify, catalyze, and amplify the difference that they make with their clients.
Mm-hmm. You know, and also what I'm getting is, too, when you said earlier, it's very result-based. I actually personally like that. And I feel like therapists can also integrate that into their approach more, too. Only in the sense of where I'll hear stories, you know, I'll listen to somebody and they're like, oh, I've been with my therapist for 5 years, 10 years. Oh, they're a family friend, this or that. And I'm like, you need some result based, you know, and I can see so many red ethical flags to that too, by the way, regarding, oh, family friend, or we've been together for 5, 10 years, you know, and it's getting a little better. And I don't accept that. I think there's so many red flags when I listen to people speak like that. It's not even funny. So anyways, yeah.
Well, sometimes, you know, working with a therapist, working with a coach, is a seductive way of hiding from actually solving the problems that we say we want to solve, because talking about things feels a lot like doing something, but talking is just talking. And so, again, if you're working with a true professional, they are helping you define worthwhile goals and helping you take small steps into them, and helping you create the habits that will give you the mindset and attitude to continue the journey with or without you over time. So I'm with you. I mean, I think it's there's got to be an end in mind. There has to be a reason, and what's it for that, everybody is in agreement. This is what we're working towards.
And to my audience, let me rephrase that. When I say 5 to 10 years, I feel like there should be a period where you go out and try to do things on your own after you spend a significant amount of time with a therapist. And if you feel like you need to go back, then absolutely go back if you need to regain some skills again. So I just wanted to clarify that. Also, so I don't know if this is the right term, but we talked about the midlife issues, midlife crisis. So when your clients come to you and they have their issues, is it more just like, I'm having a lack of fulfillment in my life, I need more money, or what are some different ways to make me happy and so forth?
Yeah. Every situation, every person arrives, at a slightly different place. But there are some common themes that I have seen. For folks that are in my generation, it is not uncommon for there to be to have this desire to find purpose, meaning, fulfillment, joy in life, because of a moment of crisis. Maybe it's the lo the loss of a job, or the fact that you're going to be having to retire from a job. Maybe you've been raising a family and the kids are going to be moving out. Maybe it's the end of a long-term intimate relationship. Maybe you've experienced, an even more profound loss. Any life worth living is going to be fraught from time to time. And in midlife, when we talk about this idea of crisis, most of us are going to experience some kind of fall, some sort of moment of being broken to the fact that you have not been living your life's true calling is precipitated by a moment of crisis, a midlife crisis, a moment where you have had experienced a fall, been broken. You can choose to be instead broken open. This has been my experience and been the experience of many of my clients is, what that fall has done is woken them up to all the false promises that we've been fed and have gone along with all of our lives. If you are, again, in my generation, we're fed this idea that if you, do what your parents tell you, you'll be taken care of. If you go to school and get good grades, then you can go to another school where you can get good grades. And if you do that, you'll get a piece of paper that will get you a good job. And if you work that job, you'll be able to have the relationships and the homes and the cars and the trips that you want to have. And we think, that's what we're taught is this is your path. And if you've had the blessing of having all of that taken from you, you also have had been opened up to the idea that maybe there's another way, maybe there's a better way for me to find fulfillment, forge meaning, and make a difference. Maybe there's something inside me, a unique gift that I can discover and develop and deliver so that I'm living a more fulfilled life. And so many of my clients do come to me in that moment, or just having that nagging sense that thing that there's much more to, their life or whatever's next. And we have lots of processes for just helping people dial in the difference only they can make, the work that they're meant to do now, and tools and processes for how they can easily craft that into some sort of online offering that they can turn into a part-time endeavor where they are leveraging their gifts to make a difference, but also able to make a difference and even fund their retirement at the same time.
Now, again, I can imagine some individuals making that transition easier than others. And I say that using this example of, like you said, hey, they're taught to work hard, get a job, put food on the table, put a roof over your kids and family's heads. But they probably were miserable. I think they've been miserable at that job. So when they come to you wanting a new calling, I can imagine they're just jumping in from the bits to get out, into something new.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things, again, part of it is starting from this idea that you are sufficient and that everything is okay just as it is. Because for most of us, it is. All of our existential needs have been taken care of. What a blessing, therefore. Shouldn't we, be bursting with gratitude that we are in a position where we can explore the edges of our understanding and abilities, and find ourselves and our soul's true calling. And so, everything that I do as a coach is about starting from that place of gratitude and recognizing that the work that that the work that you're doing is needs to come from a place of generosity. We never talk about income goals as being the end. I do have offers where I do, if someone has gotten to a certain level and I see that they have the assets and resources they need, I can make a promise that we can hit a certain dollar amount. But that's not really the point. The point is, what do you really want? Because nobody really wants money, because money is nothing. Money is a story that we've made up. What we want are things like, maybe you want to travel. Maybe you want to help your parents retire. Maybe you want to help create something for your kids so that they can do the work that they were meant to do. Maybe you just want to experience a greater sense of fulfillment in the activities of your day. For me and my wife, it was we wanted to be full-time grandparents. We take care of our grandchild from 7 in the morning till 5 at night every day. I wanted to craft a life where I could make a living working 2 hours a day from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. so that I could then be a full-time grandpa for the rest of the day. That's what I want. Money is just a side effect of doing meaningful, worthwhile work that you were actually born to do, that you were intended to do, that you have a gift for doing. And so, where some people definitely come to me with that sense of like either suffering or urgency, we start by acknowledging where we are, the abundance of resources, assets that we already possess, and then define the essential steps needed and figure out how to execute them effortlessly so that we can again compress time, get them from where they are to where they want to be in the shortest amount of time possible, and making sure that they're positioned to make the biggest difference they can, and make a living at the same time.
Okay. So can you go into a little more in depth when it comes to the business side of things? So is it more just, okay, you're helping your clients develop a business, right? And then you're trying to hook them up to, again, selling their business online. Do some also like make up products for themselves too? Or is it more of you help them find an inner gift that they have and they sell it online type thing?
Primarily, I really love working the most with people that are building a coaching business or want to build a coaching business. And in part, I think that's the best place to start because, what you, if you c come to me and say, I want to build an online course that teaches people how to flip houses, because I've been really successful at that, it's like, okay, well, that may or may not, I don't have any value judgment about whether that's a worthwhile thing or not, but if it takes a lot of expertise and technology to build something like that, and then selling it become is like the other is even the greater battle because the marketplace is so crowded, there's so much noise. If you spend a ton of time building something that hasn't been validated as something that people want, then you're going to really suffer when you've realized you've invested a lot of time and effort into something that nobody apparently wants to buy. But with a coaching offer, you can simply say, what we're really good at is crafting an offer that calls out your intended audience, delivers or shares a promise of value, what they can expect from working with you, and then helping clients get their process together, how you get people from point A to point B. And if you start by practicing that, you can start by creating something that will immediately start to put some cash into your pocket. If you want to then write a book, create a course, start a cause, I mean, that's all something that can happen. But the best way to build anything is to start by doing the work yourself, and then it gives you data. It helps you refine and define your process. It helps you create evangelicals who will sell this thing for you just through the good word of mouth. So that's that's my recommendation to most of the folks that come to me for coaching. And and that's not to say that some folks just want to share their ideas. So starting a blog or a broadcast, for me, it's always what's the simplest version of this thing that you want to do. And so, we always start with what's an offer I can put out there and sell before I even build the thing that is going to deliver that. So if sell an online, a 90-minute online workshop that will help someone, flip their first house, if that's what you want to do. You can sell that. You can create the workshop in a weekend, deliver it the next weekend. You've just validated your idea, proven that it's sustainable, and got some reps in practicing that thing. And you can continue to amplify and leverage an asset that you've already built. And so it's always for me about, making change happen, making a difference worth making happen, and making a living at the same time.
Oh man, that resonates with me so much, and I couldn't help it. Just when I heard that, it reminds me of a lot of me podcasting, or maybe any podcaster. And another thing you have to take into consideration is just expectations. Expectations. And because again, podcasting or video blogging are, I'm assuming, is just one of those things where you could put so much time and effort and not get the results you want. But like you said, it's good to manage your expectations and understand what is your goal. Is it to make money or is it to influence people?
Yeah, well, that's a great point, and something that I have learned. So human beings are creatures that make sense of themselves, each other, the world, their situation through narrative. We create stories, and then we turn those stories into fundamentals, into the truth. Oftentimes, the stories that we tell ourselves are based on regrets about the past, missed opportunities, mistakes we've made. So that's an invitation to suffering. Or, to your point, expectations and attachments to future results that create nothing but anxieties. If instead of starting with a narrative and then making it the truth, we start with the fundamentals of the thing that we want. So if you want to start a podcast, what fundamentally is necessary? Well, you have to have something to say, or you have to have a guest to have a conversation with, and you need a platform that you can share it upon. That's all you really need. So
Mm-hmm.
you can, if fundamentally all you need is a broadcasting platform and decide on your broadcasting format, whether it's host on mic or hosting conversation, just start there. Now it's not this, oh, well, I have to get Anchor and I have to make sure I might connect my iTunes and I need a microphone. I got to get a microphone on. I better probably get a new camera. Maybe I need a new light.
Yep.
You start, and then all you're doing is creating excuses for hiding and not doing the thing that you said you wanted to do. It's always much easier than we make it out to be. And if you start where you are with what you have and what you already know and start doing the work, you will learn what else is essential, what will be nice to have as opposed to what is must have. And you will refine and iterate and improve as you go along. The example I always use is, we were all born fearless difference makers, fearless change agents, fearless creatives. When you were an infant and you saw people's lips moving and sounds coming out, and you saw people smiling and somebody's lips moved and someone gave him a cookie. I mean, you've kind of like decided, oh, this thing looks interesting. I'm going to start doing this thing. And so, goo goo, gaga, eventually a couple of syllables, eventually a couple of words, eventually a couple of words strung together in a phrase, some phrases turned into sentences, sentences turned into paragraphs, turned into stories. You talk all day long and you don't even think about it. You didn't wake up one morning as an infant and say, you know what I need? I need to get my mindset right so that I can learn how to talk. And you just decided you were going to do it, and you did it poorly until you did it passively, until you did it well. That's how anything worth doing, worthwhile, worth your time and effort is done. You start where you are, you do it badly until you do it well, and then at some point it becomes something that you're actually, it's effortless, even unconscious. You've achieved unconscious excellence in something that was impossible. When you think about, again, my grandson is 7 months old. He hasn't said his first word yet. And it's impossible. How can this blob that can't even control his limbs or lips become a talker? But he will, because it's happened over and over and over again. We know it's going to happen. If we just don't let our narrative get in our way when we become adults and tap back into the awe and wonder and creative energy of childhood, anything becomes possible.
Amen. Amen, man. Yeah, it's just, again, I'm assuming it's like with your clients, it's just finding that inner passion within themselves that you need to help them find. It, or in a sense, it's something that's always been in them all along. You're just helping them become more aware of it.
Yeah, well, I think purpose and passion are tricky things, because when the scientific surveys have gone out and it's like less than 80% of people polled can articulate their purpose or passion, that means that 80% of the world is probably living in a little bit of a shame guilt loop, because this thing that we in the culture say is the most important thing is something you don't know, understand, don't have. And we treat purpose and passion like, oh, it's out there, you have to go find it. Or, oh, it's in here, you have to, do the inner work and excavate it. I think that while it is true, and I have seen and I have felt for myself that, I've had a good intuition and instinct for what my purpose and passion is, and have been, had the courage or the stupidity to just go ahead and try to do things that I wanted to do that were calling to me. I also know that purpose and passion are not destinations. They're processes, they're journeys. You bring purpose and passion to the things that you're doing right now, and more purpose and passion is generated. It becomes a renewable resource. And again, if you focus on the process, engage in everything you do with intention and integrity, passion and purpose, you'll get more passion and purpose. Your path will clarify and reveal itself. You'll earn confidence, and you will find your way to your way sooner than if you spend, half your life navel gazing, trying to figure out what you were supposed to be when you grow up.
Well, and also, like you mentioned before, too, a powerful note is the suffering and letting your clients know, hey, there might be a period of tough times. If you could just find a way to overcome the suffering and make meaning out of it, you're going to gain so much from it.
Yeah, well, suffering is a choice. I mean, the pain is inevitable, right? There will be hardships, there will be heartbreaks, there will be failures, and there will be, successes that might go to your head. But, pain is just part of the gig. But suffering is a choice because suffering means that you have attached your well-being, your happiness to a result that is way beyond your control. And so the end of suffering is to embrace the journey and to bring the per, you know to bring purpose and passion, to bring intention and integrity to everything you do. And the journey becomes its own reward. And whether or not you achieve the fame and fortune, you will still live a fulfilled and happy life.
Well said. Very well said. So another thing I want to briefly get into too is you're an author. Would you have three books out?
They're all really small handbooks. I've lost count. There's at least
Okay.
half a dozen available online.
Can you tell us a little bit about them or like the main purpose of them?
Sure. The two most recent are the ones that I'm the most proud of. One is called Endeavor, where I began to unpack this process of, finding the work that you were meant to do now, that finding your calling. And then, Onward, which is a follow-up to Endeavor, is about the journey, about a process for defining possibilities, defining your options and choices, choosing what's next with intention and integrity, and taking action in collaboration with and for other people. And right now, I am working on the third book, which I've always kind of figured that there was going to be a trilogy, and the third book is about, this idea of living your legacy, that it's not about the money and monuments that you leave behind. It's about the difference that you're making now. And so the upcoming book will be a book where I really try to redefine and reframe what legacy is and give people a pragmatic, practical approach to how they can step into their potential, and make a difference and leave a legacy worth living, or live a legacy worth leaving behind.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, also, what would you say to an individual who wants to be a life coach like yourself? What advice would you give him in his journey?
Well, I guess I would start with, when I was a musician, one of the things I would say is everyone's a musician. And people would say, well, I don't have a musical bone in my body. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. And I'd say, well, that's not exactly true. I mean, if that's your story, that's fine. But fundamentally, music is built on three ideas: melody, harmony, and rhythm. And we all have rhythm. You can tap your foot or cut a step to a, you can dance, you can tap your foot to a tune, you can walk down the street, you have rhythm. And if you can hum, whistle, or sing a song, it doesn't matter how well it is, how good it is, you have melody. And harmony is just, that's a simple skill that you can be taught in just a couple of guitar lessons. I can teach you four chords that will let you play almost any song that you want to play. And it, of course, all hangs on a structure, and there's some other things to learn, but just fundamentally, it's just those things. And I think the same is true of coaching. Fundamentally, A coach is someone who helps someone see that they are sufficient just as they are, helps them see their potential, and helps them deliver on that promise, helps them get from where they are to where they want to be, as you know, following the essential steps until they're done effortlessly. And therefore, you know, if you're a parent, if you're a friend, if you're a spouse, you're engaging in coach-like activities already. And so if you want to turn it into a profession, then it's just like anything else. It's a set of skills that you need to practice every day until you can practice the essential ones again effortlessly. It doesn't take much. And you know, again, when we practice these skills of inquiry and highlighting the things that are really getting impeding someone else's progress, you know, that work is just profoundly rewarding. Not because it makes you look good, because you know, the best coaches are just revealing the greatness of the client that's in front of them. It has nothing to do with the coach. It has everything to do with the client. So it's something you can practice. You don't have to become a professional coach. You don't formally have to declare. You don't have to charge money. If you know, lots of the folks I work with, you know, prefer the idea of being a mentor or being a teacher. You know, and I think those are slightly different things. But coaching skills help them do the things that they want to do better. Helps them become better people, better leaders, better friends, better family members, and just really enhances their lives. I would say, you know, you're already doing it. If you want to do it on purpose, then you'll probably find more fulfillment coming from that work.
Well said. Well said. Well, Scott, I just have to say it's been an honor and pleasure having you on my show. And I just have to ask you if any of my listeners do want to get a hold of you, is there a particular email or way of contact for me?
The best place to find out and connect with me is at creativeonpurpose.com. If the idea of encore living, of you know, defining, developing, and delivering the difference only you can make as an entrepreneur, as someone that wants to make a difference and leverage their unique gifts, there's a 5-step process in a little, I call it the Art of Living Quick Start Guide. It's 5 steps that will get you started, engaged on that journey in a very short period of time, and you're welcome to get that as a free resource on the website.
Awesome. Thank you. Excellent. Excellent. Well, again, Scott, I had so much fun having you on, man. We definitely learned a lot, and it was an awesome adventure.
Well, I really appreciate the difference that you're making, Jacob, and it's been a privilege and to have this opportunity to speak with you today. Thanks so much.
Welcome. Thank you.
I again want to thank Scott for being on the show. It was a lot of fun. And I also want to thank all my listeners for their support. I want to inform everyone that the content and information expressed in this episode was not meant to be taken as therapeutic advice. If you do find yourself struggling with any type of mental health or addiction issues, please seek the care of a licensed medical doctor or a licensed mental health therapist. And until next time, have a good day. Bye.